Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Kiribaru Dhauti. Gopi Jana Balaba Kiribaru Dhauti. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Te Rabana Chahuti. Yamuna te Ravana chakti. Jai ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Balava Kiribara Dhauti. Gopi Dana Balaba Kiribaru Dhauti. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janu Ranjavuna. Jamuna Te Rabana Chahuti. Yamuna Te Rabana Chahuti. Jai ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai ho Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Padmacharya Osutada Sutashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadanada Bhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shidahuida Stakur Kijai. Purem Se Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasidigora Bhakta Brindigijai Shri Radhakrishna, go, Bhagavata Sayam, Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan, Kijai, Vrindavanam, Kijai, Maturidam, Kijai, Jagadavasami, Kijai, Yamunamai, Kijai, Shimani Lassi Devi, Kijai, Samaveda, Bhakta, Vrindi, Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 16, Text 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right. Tashyaiva te amus tanavas trilokyam shanta asa ashanta uta muda yonayaha shanta priyas te he aduna vitum satang status cha te dharma paripsaye hataha the shaivate mustana vastri lokyam Shanta Shanta Utamudayunayaha Shanta Priyaste Yadunavitum Satam Status Chate Dharma Paripshaye Hataha Tashyaivate mustanavastri lokyam Shanta asanta utamuda yonayaha Shanta priyaste yadunar vitum shatam Statuschate dharma parivs Satushchache dharma parisaya he hataha asaye. Tashyavate mustanavastri lokyam. Shanta shanta utamuda yonayaha. Shanta priyaste yadunavitum satam Status chate dharma parisapsaye hataha Satushchate dharma pariyapsate vela. Shanta Shantapriyaste yadunavitum satam. Tatuschade da pari alpsate ata. Alrighty. Tasha of him. Eva, indeed. Te of you. Amu, these. Tanavaha, material bodies. Trilokyam, throughout the three worlds. Shantaha, peaceful in the mode of goodness. Ashantaha, not peaceful in the mode of passion. Uta, and also. Mudayonaha, born in ignorant species. Ashantaha, the peaceful persons in the mode of goodness. Priyaha, dear. Te, to you. He, certainly. Aduna, now. Avitum, to protect. Satam, of the saintly devotees. Statuhu, who are present. Cha, and te, of you. Dharma, their principles of religion. Paripsya, with a desire of maintaining. Ihataha, who is acting. So translation, therefore all material bodies throughout the three worlds, those who are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of passion, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance, all are your creations. Still, those living entities whose bodies are in the mode of goodness are especially dear to you. And it is to maintain them and protect their religious principles that you are now present on the earth. So again. The Shaivate Mustanavas Trilokyam Shanta Ashanta Utamuda Yoneaha Shanta Priyaste Yadunavitum Shatam Statuschate Dharma Paripsaye Hataha. So, Omagana, Timiranda Shah Garanjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here we're hearing described the different types of bodies that living entities get, and the bodies are associated with different modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And even amongst human beings, of course, there are 400,000 species of human beings. Of course, there's 8,400,000 species total. The way that the Vedas ascertain species is different than the way the scientists ascertain species. Therefore, you do have a little bit of difference in the understanding of species. But I'm not going to get into what it means. But, of course, all of the human species, the 400,000 human species, they can, I hate to say this, but they can mate with each other. And scientists usually consider species to be, let's see, other types of entities that can't mate with each other, although there's some exceptions to that. So in other words, the Vedas have different and a different understanding of what the word species means. It's just nomenclature. It's not that important to deal with. So anyway, there's 400,000 species of human beings, and Prabhupada said most of them are actually uncivilized. And we hear from Krishna in the Gita that namam duskritino muda prabhajante naradama maya prita asturam bhavamashrita namam duskritino muda prabhajante naradama. So these are the four types of people who don't approach Krishna, and, you know, lowest of mankind. So this is actually quite interesting. That, of course, all these different species, I'm not going to get into. This is not a racial thing at all. So it's interesting that every one of us, we could say, you know, we're the same species or something like that, or same race. But every one of us has a certain combination of modes of nature that are pertaining to this particular body. And you can't change that. You can't change it. You can change your consciousness. I'm going to get into that in a second. But the body that we have in this lifetime, that was acquired due to our previous karma. In one sense, you could say, you know, the body is the evidence of the Parabdha karma or the Parabdha karma. Although we've also stated previously that when one chants the holy name, all the Parabdha karma is gone, but it's at least the evidence of your previous Parabdha karma. That's why it says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one shouldn't criticize someone for his past sinful activities or for some accidental deviation, because the accidental deviation may occur due to the nature of the body. So I'm not saying, you know, the body made me do it. You know, that's a good excuse. Or the devil made me do it. Yeah. Where? People, where? My question is it Mayapur TV or is it my... Okay. So, I can't make it much louder without getting feedback here. So, well, then you get feedback. You can try. Turn it up a little bit, but otherwise you're going to start to get... The output, yeah, turn the output, not the volume in the temple room. Okay. Okay, is it up? Okay, and anyone who can't hear, for some reason, they can go to Facebook, my Facebook page, and that's, the volume is up on that. You know, it's really high on that, so. I know, because I set the volume myself. So, actually, it's a little loud for me right now. Yeah, I'm just hearing the echo of my voice in the temple room. So if you can just turn up the volume to the computer rather than the volume to the speakers. So, anyway, so... Hare Krishna? Okay. So, getting back to the point. So each and every one of us has a certain combination of modes in our body. And... I'm going to refer to the Bhagavad Gita, and these modes affect the way we think, the type of faith we have. And I've done a whole study on the modes of nature in the Bhagavad Gita, which is really interesting, and we're putting together a whole PowerPoint of that study right now. But I'm just going to deal with a few of them. Of course, the first one we're going to talk about, this is not Bhagavad Gita, this is the Bhagavad Gita. First one we're going to talk about is the Varnashram system, which is an obvious reference. And then you have in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you have this famous verse, text 13. And the verse is, of course, Chaturvarna Mayashrishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tashakartaram Apimam Vijakartaram Aviyam. It says, according to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So, in other words, this Varnashram system, as Prabhupada said, is a very important concept to understand, because everywhere in society you have a division according to labor, although if that's not recognized, then you have the wrong people in the wrong situation. For example, in World War II, not World War II, the Vietnam War. You had people who were drafted into the Army or the Marines or whatever, who were not actually qualified to be soldiers. And they ended up, many of them ended up just like smoking marijuana, shooting heroin in the trenches, and then eventually some of them, what is it called, fragging? They frag their officers. Is that the word? Yeah, frag. But I think fragging is the word they used. They frag their officers. You know, so you have people that probably commented on that. You know, people weren't qualified to be soldiers. They were, so it's, the understanding is, or one should have the understanding, putting the round peg in the round hole and the square peg in the square hole. Because this Varnashram always exists. Now, we're not talking about the caste system. I was talking to Adi Purusha yesterday, and one of his academic associates commented this is, you know, something very primitive, you know, the caste system. But this is not what we're talking about. We are talking about people having certain modes of nature that are associated with their body. Like Arjuna, obviously, he had the mode of passion associated with his body, even though he's an absolutely pure devotee. And so by his nature, he would be forced to fight. Now, the other objection Adi Purusha's associate had was that, you know, how can you just like stick people in different categories and, you know, designate them and discriminate against them because of that? So he asked me the question, you know, what did Prabhupada envision as far as the application of Varnashram Dharma? And that's one of the big discussions going on right now in ISKCON. Because Prabhupada, you know, there's the famous quote that 50% of his work was unfinished because he had not instituted Varnashram Dharma. So the question is, should we be going around and designating people like this? You know, should I be saying, you know, Krishna Priya, you're a Brahmin. I'm not going to go through anyone else. And then I was thinking, what about me? You know, I like to study, and sometimes you find me on the tractor. And sometimes you find me fixing things, usually find me on the computer. So what am I going to do, you know? Am I just having like MPD, multiple personality disorder, or something like that? Well, Prabhupada did also say that we're of mixed castes of unknown origin. That's another statement by Srila Prabhupada. So the point is not to designate people. I mean, can you imagine how politically incorrect it would be nowadays that people come either, you know, even if they're not devotees, let's say people come to do work at the temple. Okay. We have some very favorable people who come to do work at the temple, either gardening or, you know, construction work. And we all of a sudden, because the devotees said, you know, Varnashram is only for people who are not doing bhakti. But if you apply that to the people who are not doing bhakti, the people who are favorable, the people who are doing some devotional service, or they're doing bhakti in one sense because, you know, they're at least karma yoga. If we apply it to them, it'll be so politically incorrect that people will leave and not serve anymore. You know, we just say, you know, oh, you're doing some construction here. Okay, you're Shudra. Then they look it up on the internet, you know, Shudra, okay. Ooh. You know, of course, of all the different statements Prabhupada made in regard to Shudra, fourth class and everything like that, you know, implicit understanding of Shudra, which is not the actual understanding of Shudra. Shudra just means someone who's willing to serve. So then, how will it help our movement? I mean, I've just been analyzing this in my talks with Adi Purusha, because I'm expanding on this. How will it help our movement to designate people like that? Or what to speak of in the temple? You know, if we say, you know, Krishna Priya is a Brahmin, and because I'm doing the gardening or I constructed the building, I must be a Shudra. You know, how's... you know, it's really not what I think Prabhupada intended, what I know Prabhupada intended. You know, it's going to impede the progress of the Krishna conscious movement, Hare Krishna. The point is that everybody has particular propensities. Engage them according to their psychophysical nature. Prabhupada said, that's the duty. And if we do that, people will be happy. We don't have to call them Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, or Shudras, but understand the principles behind it. But too often, we tend to impose upadis on people. And these really disconnect people because we're supposed to be sarva upadi vinira muktam tat purutvena nirmilam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchite. You know, so here the Nagapadnis, the Nagapadnis are talking about different modes of nature. And they're obviously right now in the mode of goodness. Although people, you know, here's this feminist rant. So anyway, so people sometimes, you know, they take certain statements from the Shastras about ladies and take them out of context and say that, you know, ladies are of a different mode of nature. But here is an interesting phenomena. The Nagapatnis are in the mode of goodness. And their husband, well, his body is in the mode of ignorance. You know, obviously, in the mode of ignorance. And that's really why they're talking about this. They're basically, implicitly, they're saying, please excuse our husband. He got a body. You gave him the body, Krishna. That's what they're saying. You gave him the body, you know. Not that they're saying Krishna's at fault, but, you know, you have to give him some handicap here. Just like, for example, if they have some sort of, you know, marathon or Olympics, they have a handicapped Olympics, don't they? It's not, and like I say, if I run the marathon, of course I'm not handicapped, and I've been encouraged to do so by my dear disciple, dear Krishna, he said you can enter in a certain category, you know, over 70. You don't compete against the people his age. Can you imagine? You know, here I am, you know, 70-year-old in an old, broken-down old body and competing against Jira Krishna. So there has to be... So the Nagapadnis are basically saying to Krishna, you know, give him a handicap there. You know, let him compete in a different category. He has this body in the mode of... That's why they're talking about bodies in the different modes of nature. You know, there's a reason for that psychologically. And obviously because their consciousness is in the mode of goodness now. Now, whatever body, their body is mode of goodness, passion, is not important, but they've transcended that. So here you see the ladies infinitely more intelligent than those in the mode of ignorance. And I was listening to a class probably was talking about how do you deal, as far as faith is concerned, with people in different modes of nature. And generally, Prabhupada would say, you know, blind faith and absurd inquiries are condemned. But Prabhupada said, for those who are not in the mode of goodness, especially third class, you know, in the mode of ignorance or fourth class, blind faith is recommended. I thought that was quite interesting. And then Prabhupada said, you know, eventually they'll understand. And Prabhupada gave the example in the class I was listening to this morning. Prabhupada gave the example of a little boy whose father tells him, this is a pen. And some of you may have heard that class. This is a pen. So if he repeats that, you know, because he has faith in his parents. Of course, obviously we want parents who are Krishna conscious, but anyway, he has faith in his parents, and if he repeats it, that's blind faith, and it's perfect. I mean, we've all experienced that in the past, you know. Our parents said, you know, here is the bedroom, we go to sleep on the bed. How did we know? You know, it's not that you naturally know, it's not built into the natural psychology of the brain that a bed is meant for sleeping, is it? I mean, such a simple thing like that. You would think, you know, nowadays, of course, because we're trained like that, but we accepted that based on blind faith. And, you know, and so that's recommended for people who are less intelligent. So sometimes we think, this isn't what I had planned on talking about, but it's coming out here. Sometimes we think we're going to convince people to join the Krishna consciousness movement, simply by preaching them, preaching to them or at them, or throwing a bunch of philosophy at them. It doesn't really work, because people have different modes of nature and they have different needs. Krishna himself says in the Gita, Chaturvidha bhajanti mam, isn't it? People are coming to him for various reasons. That means we can attract people to Krishna, fulfilling their needs in terms of those various reasons. People are coming to Krishna because, well, some people, they want knowledge. Yes, it is true. But, you know, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, anyone's heard about that before? You know, everybody in Kali Yuga is a Shudra. Or Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everybody is born as a Shudra. You know, Samskara Bhavit Dvijam. By the proper samskaras, they can actually become twice born. So that's only one of the four, and a very small minority is in that particular class. The other classes are people in distress. Just like right now, because of this corona, or as I like to say, coronavirus, people are in distress. And of course, there's a lot of people who are followers of particular people who are angry, but that's a different... I think the majority of people are in distress and anxiety. I see some of you wearing masks in class. That means distress, anxiety. Following the rules. Okay, good. That's your sadhana. Your vaidhi bhakti. So anyway, so so people are in people are in distress. People are inquisitive, right? Or people want some material opulence. You know, that's a big thing. You know, people come to God and they want some material opulence. I mean, that's why we have so many people interested in these things like Satyanarayan Katha and other different ceremonies in which people want things from God. And we mentioned yesterday, that's taking God as the Father. It's not a very intimate relationship. You're thinking God is meant to relieve your anxieties. But in the higher stage, we're thinking that we are meant to relieve God's anxieties. Prabhupada actually said that we should think that Krishna is anxious for the plight of the conditioned souls, and the spiritual master is anxious, so we should be enthusiastic to relieve the anxieties of Krishna and the spiritual master. Anyway, so this is, you know, part of preaching strategy. And you engage people in Krishna consciousness according to their psychophysical nature and according to their needs and according to where they sit on that Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mam, you know, approaching Krishna from different platforms. So being aware in Varnashram means that we apply it in dealing with people, not that we necessarily have to be ritualistic about Varnashram. And then, of course, later on in the Gita, which we're going to read right now, are some of the qualities by which we can recognize, some of the manifestations of qualities by which we can recognize whether someone is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. We can keep these designations in mind. That is true, but we shouldn't be applying them to people, because it's very discouraging to hear that you're just a Shudra, or even hear you're a Vaishya. I mean, here I'm a Brahmin is pretty good, or a Kshatriya. Yeah, I might accept that one. So, anyway, so we'll read these verses from the Bhagavad Gita, although you've heard them before. First thing is the 41 in the 18th chapter. And interesting thing about these modes of nature, which is, came out of my analysis, is that there's over 100 verses dealing with the modes of nature in the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, it's quite interesting. And then if you expand that to the material nature, modes of nature and material nature, that's the great plurality of verses in the Gita. Not majority, but the plurality. You know, the most verses in the Gita deal with the material nature and the modes of, and, you know, part of the material nature is the modes of nature. So you'd say, you know, what's going on here? You know, we want to hear some, you know, rasa theology here. So one devotee said, when Krishna says, Mama come, Sharanam Braja, he refers to just surrender me and go to Braj. So, just so he wanted to extract some, you know, rasa theology out of the Bhagavad Gita. So there is a lot of rasa in the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, there's wonderful, the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. And Krishna's explaining his own nature in certain places. But anyway, so here, Brahman, Kshatriya, this is 41 in the 18th chapter of the Gita. Brahmans, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their nature in accordance with the material modes, O Chastra, the enemies. So then you have the Brahman, of course, peacefulness, samadhamak, dapaksho, cham, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are natural qualities by which Brahmins work. So we can observe people. Is this their predominant nature to engage them and attract them in Krishna consciousness? You know, study, like Adipurusha likes to study. And he's like definitely Brahmin by nature. So we engage, we send him to Cambridge. It's interesting. When Prabhupada was asked whether I should go to Cambridge, not to Cambridge, back to the university, Prabhupada said no. We asked Prabhupada, should I continue my education and get a PhD in science? And Prabhupada said, no, what is the use? Let him just... You know, so Prabhupada, somehow or other, he knew. I mean, even though, you know, I wasn't, didn't have that much, like, personal association with Prabhupada. Prabhupada knew my nature. And he said, you know, what is the use? Even though, you know, the whole idea was to work for the Bhaktivedanta Institute, not just a Maya thing, you know, so I could become a big PhD, piled higher and deeper. Prabhupada said, no. Just let him serve the temple. And I was disappointed. I said, you know, whatever. You know, I want to be a big PhD. But Prabhupada nixed that really quickly. So anyway, so the next text 43, is the Kshatriya. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. So we have people like that too. But we don't designate them as Kshatriyas. Neither the Vaishnavas nor those coming to the movement. Because it's in a party. We want everyone to understand, you know, Jivara Swarupa Hoy Nitya Krishnas, you know, Sarvapati Vinir Muktam, Tat Puratwena Nirmalam, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Chute. You can overcome these upadis, you know. Yes, you have a body, but you're not that body. You're not that upadi. We recognize that you have a, you know, there's two things going on. Internally, we're recognizing the nature of someone and maybe even thinking in terms of these designations, but we don't pin it on someone because things can change. And I'm going to explain why in a second, hopefully, if I get time. And then, of course, you have farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work of the Vaishyas. And for the Shudra, there is labor and service to others. So you know how to engage people. So getting to the point I wanted to deal with is we do have something called Buddhi Yoga, which Krishna talks about and we've been talking about in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita in our Bhagavad Gita classes. So Buddhi Yoga means the yoga of intelligence. And actually Prabhupada said Buddhi Yoga and Sankhya Yoga in the second chapter of the Gita. It's nice, I'm actually becoming more familiar with the Gita. He says they're non-different from Bhakti Yoga. Because they're aspects of Bhakti Yoga. They're different and non-different simultaneously. So, but Buddhi Yoga means that one uses his intelligence, his higher self, to control the lower self. So regardless of whatever type of body one has, one can be a Brahmin. But still engage his body. And this appears to be a paradox, contradiction, whatever you call it. But still engages body according to his body's psychophysical nature. Because if one understands Brahman, That means, and acts accordingly and controls his senses according to his understanding of the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, then even though one may have Shudra body, Vaishya body, Kshatriya body, or Brahman body, he can be considered a Brahman. And there's many statements like Ho Bhattaswa Pachatao Gorianya Jivagre Vartate Namatubyam Tapush Jehuva Shashnarya Brahmanuchanama Granantiye Te, that how wonderful it is when it's chanting the holy names, it is understood that he or she has performed all the preliminary practices. So it doesn't matter. And he or she has come to the platform of being a Brahman. And what does Brahman mean? This is not the designation of the body. That means one who knows Brahman. So that's the point. So we can function on two levels. That's why it's important not to go labeling people. Because people can function on both those levels. They can function in terms of the body's propensities, and they can function in terms of their spiritual nature simultaneously. Like Arjuna. Arjuna was advised to function in terms of his Kshatriya mentality. I don't think Krishna ever said to Arjuna, you are just a Kshatriya. He said, basically, you know, you're a devotee, you know, surrender to me, do what's necessary, and I'll protect you from all sorts of sins. And he said, you know, he referred to Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, he was trying to stir up Arjuna's Kshatriya spirit, you know, that saying, you know, if you don't fight Lagavan, you're going to be considered just a weakling, a wimp. You know, light. Lagavan means light. Everybody's going to make fun of you. You know, the people you really respect, like Grandfather Bhishma, everyone's just going to, they're not going to know the reason that you're not fighting is that you're being compassionate. They're going to think you're just a wimp, baby. You know, so Krishna didn't say that. But, you know, Krishna's appealing to that to try to convince Arjuna to fight. But Krishna doesn't advise, he advises Arjuna to work according to his ability, but he advises Arjuna to, in the Bhagavad Gita, to actually come up to internally the Brahman status. So you have this dichotomy there. Sorry. Anyway, it's not what I wanted to talk about, but it came out anyway. All glorious, there's divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Purusha, Namaham Bhajami. Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah. Namaha.
You can turn it up a lot.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Shimado Sunan Nirirare Kopina Madana Mohan Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Siddha Advaita Siddha Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Hare Guru Vaishnava Bhagavata Shiro Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Nima Pallavata Dasa Raghunath Jinima Palabhata Dasa Raghunath Hey Jai Gosair Kore Jadanamandan Jakma Hoite Vignanash Habishta Pura Jakma Hoite Vignanash Habishta Pura Jai Gosai Jai Nitaro Das Tansabar Paru Renu Morapancha Gras Tansabar Paru Renu Panchakras Tandaracha Rana Seve Bhatta Sariva Janame Janame Ay Eya Vilas Janna me janam me hoi abhilash Hey Jai Gosai Jave Braje Koilavas
Radha Krishna Nichalela Kunila Prakash. Radha Krishna Nichalela Kunila Prakash. Anande Golohati Vaja Vrindavan Jigaro Vaishnava Padje Matai Amman Jigaro Vaishnava Padje Matai Amman Shri Guru Vaishnava Padma Padma Koriyash Shri Guru Vaishnava Padma Padma Koriyash Nama Sankirtan Kohe Narottama Das Nama Sankirtan Kohe Nama Sankirtan Kohe Narottama Das Rei Rai Nama Krishna Yodavaya Namava Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namah Yadavaya Namakaya Keshavaya Namah Jaya Radha Lokyananda Radha Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravadakacharya, Avasthitadas, Chashi, Shibad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananada, Vatavananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Iskat, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Ananda Goti, Vaishnam, Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Vedas, Thakur, Kijai. Prem Sai Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaya Gadavatam Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakti Vindikajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radha Gunda Giri Gaur Vrindavan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai Gaur Vrindavan Hari Hari All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, ye symbol of devotees. All glories, ye symbol of devotees. All glories, ye shigur. Ingaranga, shilbabad ki jai. All right, the translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Hari, Sri Krishna of the Yadus, Lord Madhava, Lord Keshava, friend of the cows, pleasure of the cows and spiritual senses, enjoyer, slayer of demon Madhu, lifter of Govardhan Hill, Lord of the Gopis, attractor of Cupid. I worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita Acharya, his wife Sri Sita Devi, Lord Hari, the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, the Bhagavatam, and the Gita. My obeisances unto the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Sri Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Jiva, Sri Gopal Bhatta, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. I offer my obeisances at the feet of the six Goswamis, which destroy the sufferings accumulated over many long years. I am the servant of these six Goswamis, and the dust of their lotus feet is my five kinds of foodstuffs. To serve their lotus feet and keep the association of devotees is my only business, birth after birth. When the six Goswamis were staying at Vrindavan, they revealed the eternal path, transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. In great ecstasy, shout the name of Hari and serve the real transcendental master and devotees. With all hopes in the lotus feet of my guru and the holy Vaishnavas, Narottama Das sings the Sankirtan of Lord Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So, Lord Chaitanya wrote the first two lines. And the rest is written by Narottama Das Thakur. So, let's see if anybody has any questions. Oh, you have a question. Okay. The first two. First two stanzas. The first two lines were spoken by Lord Chaitanya. He was asked by students, how do you chant the Lord's holy names? And then Lord Chaitanya went, Hare Haraya Namakrishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Those are Lord
Chaitanya's.
And the rest were actually added by Narottama Das Thakur later on. Because Lord Chaitanya was asked by his students, you know, how do you chant the holy names?
Also, but
and you know, he gave Hare Krishna also, but basically, that's written down that he actually spoke or sang the first two.
Thank you for asking that question. So now we are going to allow people to ask questions for a few seconds, maybe one or two questions. Time is of the essence. I have to take people. As they say, we control the horizontal, we control the vertical. We control whether you can say something. So, who has a question? Or does anyone have a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
I don't recognize you, Nalini Khan. All right. What's your question?
Dandavat Pranam Gurudev. How to practically apply these things in Sunday feast, or do we need to modify it, or it is already perfect as it is given by Srila Prabhupada? Like you mentioned about recognizing the psychophysiological nature and then engaging, but in Sunday feast, anybody can come, and sometimes people come first time ever, and sometimes they just pass by the farm and they decide to come inside and see what's happening and things.
Okay, yeah, I can answer that. Actually, one of the best things you can do with the Sunday feast is finding out people's psychophysical nature and give them some engagement. I mean, I just think of what Prabhupada did with Jadarani and with some of the artists in the beginning, isn't it? I mean, they didn't even know they weren't even good artists in the beginning. And Prabhupada saw that that was their nature. And what did Prabhupada do? Paint a picture of Krishna. And then, actually, there was an interesting memory I was listening to. They wanted to go to some art school to learn how to paint like the masters, and even sometimes they imitated the paintings of the so-called masters in the Western world. And Prabhupada said no. And Prabhupada loved those first initial paintings in the Krishna book. And when the devotees tried to change the paintings, Prabhupada actually got upset when they actually came up with other paintings that were actually much more sophisticated according to the Western standard. So anyway, so I think the way Prabhupada brought people, and not, I just think, okay, wait a second. But I've seen the way the Prabhupada brought people to the movement. He gave people engagement immediately according to their psychophysical nature. Didn't just preach philosophy to them. I mean, he engaged Kirtananda in cooking immediately when Kirtananda came. And so he gave people something to do, because unless people feel they're valued, you know, you just come and get some philosophy, then how are people going to, first of all, get purified or feel part of it, the society? So I think it's an essential item for the Sunday feast that we identify people. What do you like to do? You know, if you like to garden, you know, we got a garden here, of course. Don't plant anything anywhere you want. Coordinate things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got a garden. Or if you like to cook, we'll train you how to cook. Or if you like to dance. I mean, I have some people who I'm communicating with that said, you know, I'm a ballerina. And I said, well, we have Champaka Lata here, who's a expert Bharatanatyam dancer. So I think it's a question of understanding people's abilities and giving them something so they get enthusiastically engaged in Krishna service. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story about my own history, is that when I first joined the movement, what's that? Is that tractor coming? It is. I got to get out there. So anyway, when I first came to the movement, Vrindananda Maharaj said to me, okay, you can be the treasurer. And I said, Jai. And I was the treasurer. Well, we only had $5 in the treasury. And then he basically said, now you got to go out to Sankirtan. Because you can't. We need more money. So he understood, you know, so people understand. I think that's so important as far as bringing people to Krishna consciousness, to give them practical engagement. Okay, got to go. We just had a delivery, so sorry about that. It's a tractor. The tractor that was just speaking about the modes of nature. Thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Prabhupada.